Well, good afternoon. Glad to have all of you here. We are winding up another wonderful year here at AirVenture, and excited that we were able to get back this year and host Weather Not. Hopefully we've had some conversations that have been useful for you and given you some education when it comes to the world of weather. And I have my final guest of the week here, Caitlin Lara. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mitch. How are you?
Good. I'm wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in NOAA.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an aviator for NOAA. I'm new. I just commissioned in April, so I'm pretty fresh. Currently, I'm supporting the One-Star Admiral up in D.C., but I'm on the pathway to hopefully being on the King Air in the C-130s.
So how many times have you flown? I mean, outside of post your training and stuff.
I've only gone to fly a couple times since my training. Well, let me rephrase. I've only flown a couple times since I've commissioned with NOAA.
Since you commissioned.
I fly as often as I can, privately.
Yeah, awesome. So everybody... you know, I had a conversation with one of your cohorts earlier in the week. Everyone's always very excited to talk to you guys, learn more about what you guys do. Every day at the NOAA booth and the IFP, there's where are the people that fly into the hurricanes. I got to find someone that's flown into a hurricane. And we talked a little bit about that earlier in the week with Emily Haller. From your experience, you haven't been up in a hurricane.
Not yet,
but you will be.
Hopefully soon. We had a tropical storm this week while we were up here at Oshkosh. It's like, another missed opportunity.
And I'm up here in Wisconsin. Shoot. So what is it that drew you to, one, to flying, and two, to kind of go on the route that you've gone?
Absolutely. It's always been drawn by adventure. Never wanted a desk job, never wanted the 9-to-5. And then I didn't want to be a bus driver either. I wanted something with a little bit more purpose and a little bit more dynamic. Because as an NOAA pilot, you're not just a pilot. You have a ground mission with a lot of other responsibilities. You get to give back more than some of the traditional roles that you would see like in a charter or an airline. So that appealed to me. But also the people in NOAA too, which I think is a huge component, especially when we're hiring. And that's one of the things I've been describing to people is it's not just about your qualifications, like can you fly safely through a hurricane or other various missions that NOAA has, but it's we're all interested in similar things, being outdoors, helping people, helping nature, helping animals. I feel like that's kind of centric to the culture in AOC, and those are the type of people I wanted to work with.
Yeah, that's awesome. AOC stands for?
Aircraft Operations Center. It's in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah, based in Lakeland. And so you are in D.C., but you're looking at in the next... 1, 2, 3, 4 years, maybe making your way down there? And...
as soon as possible, just because I miss flying. D.C. is a great opportunity. Historically, flag lieutenants are about like a one-year billet.
Okay.
My contract is 3, technically.
Oh, it is?
Trying to get down as soon as possible, though, just because it's such a demanding role, and also you don't get to fly as much.
Yeah.
So kind of just depends on the needs of the service, though, because at the end of the day, we are a commissioned officer.
They got to keep you fresh, right?
Got to keep you fresh.
So tell us a little bit about your understanding of some of the other missions that AOC is working on. Hurricane, of course, is the big one that most people recognize. Gets a lot of publicity and whatnot. But there's a lot of other projects and research going on all around the country. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our missions are kind of dependent on the platform that you're flying. So whether you're in the Twin Otter, the King Air, obviously like the P3, which will be replaced by the C-130s, or the G4, which will in the future be replaced by the G550s. So some of the lighter aircraft, so the Twin Otter and the King Air, we're doing like snow surveys, marine mammal research, gravity research, aerial surveys supporting like the Coast Guard before and after storms. I mean, we have a laundry list of missions that nobody really knows about, but it's kind of funny because all that research is contributing to the information that people are getting on, like, hey, there's a storm coming, or insurance purposes, or farmers for like droughts and floods, things of that nature.
So the insurance company, they rely on,
they do,
on those missions, and they'll get all that data to be able to adjust their...
Yeah, they depend on it. And a lot of people do, too. Civil engineers do. Like, how are we going to build this house in this flood zone? Or how are we going to accommodate the different environments and the changing environments? All comes from NOAA.
Interesting. I know, and I think I mentioned to Emily earlier in the week, when I was in Alaska, we would sometimes give weather support for missions going up in the Arctic and whatnot. And it always sounded like they were just having a great time, like just really unique environments. Talk to me a little bit about the flying for some of those missions, because it does take some serious skill.
It does. I mean, you're not flying very high over the ground. And in Alaska, for example, you're in mm-hmm. the mountains. There's a lot of training involved. So if we are flying those missions, you go to cold school. So you spend like a week, mm. week and a half in Alaska.
Everybody loves that, don't they?
You know, it's funny because everybody does. I'm a little bit afraid. I haven't gone yet. I will be going with, I have to do it within a year. So I will be going.
Okay.
We're with the Air Force, Marines, Army. They send us all to cold school. And it's like, okay. These are your like the tools you're supplied with. Right. This is your situation. Survive.
Yeah, right, so, right.
But
yeah.
Allegedly, it's a lot of fun, and it's, I mean, really great information to have.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be quite an experience. Now, that'd be something to tell your grandkids.
I plan once. To. One time.
Yeah, that's awesome. How did you get interested in flying and in aviation? I know we've been driving up and down from Appleton where we're staying to the ground. So we've had conversations about I had the opportunity to do this and I had the opportunity to go overseas and I had the opportunity for all these other things. But you've stuck with NOAA, and
yes.
So clearly there's something there that draws you to. And I'm guessing that flying is a big part of that.
Flying is a huge part of it. Yeah. It's just like the missions that I mentioned. They're just interesting. They're exciting and they're changing. It's not the same mission. But previously, I worked in aircraft sales. So the dynamic, like, still got to fly, still got to do some really cool flights, too. I mean, we're ferrying aircraft from one side of the country to the other. And the people that I get to meet are really interesting that are buying planes and all the different types of aircraft. Like, it's actually really fascinating work. But it was kind of short-lived. So you'd, like, meet someone, build a relationship with them, get them to where they needed to be to, like, successfully own and manage an aircraft, and then it would be over.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was different. Mm-hmm. I also wanted something more fulfilling, more meaningful, so that kind of drove me. But I actually got introduced to it through NASA, through Women in Aviation. I met engineer there. Yeah, and she's like, oh, you love the environment, and you love animals, and you like all the different things that kind of aligned with who I was. Mm-hmm. She's like, we do really cool flights here, but doesn't that align more with like who you are as a person? Like you want to like actually help people, actually help things. So that kind of like drove me to NOAA, but it's not necessarily an easy path into NOAA.
Yeah.
Knowing of its existence, at least the flying component, is kind of like the biggest barrier to entry. But after that, it's a really competitive role.
So what is the training like to be able to fly these missions of hurricane and the hurricanes and everything else?
So the hurricanes are extensive.
Yeah.
We come in with all of our ratings though. So I'm, before even being part of NOAA, I had my private instrument, commercial multi. And then once we get in, they're going to train you on the platform that you're flying. So Twin Otter, King Air, so on and so forth. A lot of the heavy aircraft, we had inter-service transfers. So guys that were already flying the P-3 or the Gulfstream mm-hmm. already knew how to fly it. So it's kind of like, how do we make it mission-centric?
Right. Right.
But it's not an overnight process. It is a lot quicker than I think I expected it to be because it's intense. Like, you're going to learn this quick, and then we throw you in, and now you're performing.
Mm, no kidding. When you're flying, let's say you're flying to a hurricane, how many people do you have providing the research and the drop sons and all the kind of scientific side of it? And how many people total do you typically have up on one of these missions?
Total, it kind of changes. It depends on like the intensity of the storm and how far that they're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think like the P3, you have your three pilots. But then you have redundancy pilots as well, because you're not just flying mm-hmm. through the hurricane by yourself. You're going to be swapping people out. So that in itself could be like 6 to 9 pilots. You have your flight director. You have the drop zone operators. You have all the different, like, there could be, I mean, like, up to like 8-12 people easily.
Mm-hmm. You can't speak specifically to having flown into a hurricane before, but a lot of people have asked about kind of the history of this, and like, it would be terrifying. Like, how does somebody, you've got to be getting thrashed all over. I mean, we tell people all the time, do not fly into thunderstorms.
Yeah,
well,
you
can't get
like
to
that.
The walleye of a hurricane without flying through something.
Right.
I mean, it's like virtually impossible. So from your interactions with people and the training that you've done, what is that like? And is it really scary? I mean, is it just kind of like, do you build up kind of a desensitization to it where you're just like, I'm just going to do this thing and it's going to terrify me, but I'm going, or,
right.
You know?
Yeah. So not speaking from experience yet, because I'm new and I haven't gotten my chance into the hurricane yet. But from what I've understood, I mean, you have your 5-point harness and you want to make sure that you're strapped in tight. Your bags are strapped in. There's as much as possible strapped in and enclosed. Obviously, some equipment has to be free. And that's when you see the videos of mm-hmm. things flying all over
yep.
the place. That's usually
yep.
what it is. But it throws you around. And do you get desensitized? I mean, to a degree, I mean, you've been on a roller coaster before and like you get whipped and around and you can only prepare so much. But you're going in expecting it. So it's not like it comes out of nowhere. Like you go, you brace yourself, and then before you know it, you're in the eye and it's smooth and it's calm. And it continues to be smooth and calm. And you see the sky, you see the ocean, it's calm, it's quiet, it's beautiful. And then you hit the other side of the wall. And it's not just one penetration and through. They're going back and forth.
Zigzagging,
getting as much data as they possibly can.
Yeah.
So you kind of get, I would imagine you get used to it. Granted, like it's never comfortable to be thrashed around.
And you're training, would they? You're getting banged all over. How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, you're training essentially. And then when you go in, you're not immediately flying too. So like you're strapped in and you're kind of experiencing it for the first few times. Yeah. They don't throw you in too much.
Right.
But even in training for OCS, for example, like they put you, it's not specific to hurricane training, but just no core training is in general. And they put you in a fuselage. They turn off the lights. They have strobe lights. They have thunder machines. And they put you over a pole. And they rotate the cage around so you're completely disorientated. Mm-hmm. It's dark. You don't know where you're going. They throw you into water. There's fans blowing. Like, they just create this crazy sensation environment.
No kidding.
And then you have to, like, escape it. Whereas, like, in a hurricane, that's obviously not the case because, thankfully, we've never had any accidents or anything. So
that was a knock on wood.
You don't have to, like, find the rescue of it. But we do prepare for the worst-case scenarios.
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, for sure. Mm. That's fascinating. I mean, it just, I don't know a person alive that I've talked to here at Oshkosh that hasn't expressed like that. Is that you got to be brave. You got to really like, you got to really be ready to do something like that, because that could rock some people's world. You know?
It can, and it's funny because you get two kinds of people. I mean, you can tell my voice is so coarse because we've had lines and lines of people.
They have been lining up.
How do I become a hurricane hunter? How do I become one? And then every once in a while, I'd say like 1 in 10 are like, you're nuts. You're absolutely crazy. It's like, well, actually, like we do have a team of really brilliant flight directors and meteorologists, and they're telling us from behind, like giving us the direction, telling us how to do it safely. So it's not just a run-of-the-mill.
Yeah. Incredible experiences. Thanks for sharing them with us.
Yeah,
Caitlin, I really appreciate it. Caitlin Leary here from OMAO or AOC. I've got that all right. Folks, it's been a wonderful year. Great to be with you here again. We will hope to be back here from NOAA for weather or not next year. And have a great one. We'll see you then.